Good morning, everyone. I just came rapidly from the Spanish ministry, so bear with me. We are studying our Confession of Faith, Chapter 2 of God and the Holy Trinity, and taking our time as we began to go through it last Lord's Day. And right now, we're looking at the first introductory clauses of the first paragraph. In particular, right now we're looking at the phrases, "The Lord our God is but one only living and true God, whose subsistence is in and of himself." Whose subsistence is in and of himself. So let me ever so briefly review what that means when it says that God's subsistence is in and of himself. We said that last week we said that this affirmation, God's subsistence is in and of himself, is what we usually refer to as the doctrine of divine aseity. Ase, you can see right here, ase from Latin, his being of himself. Well, being in and of himself, we could just say that. God's aseity. So, to subsist is to be in a particular way. Subsistence describes manner. In what way is something? What is your manner of being? So you subsist, I subsist, we all subsist. It means we are. A subsistent thing is a real thing. It exists. It is. But your subsistence is the way in which you exist. And in our confession of faith, we confess that God subsists in and of himself. So his being is ase being. His being is in and of himself, which corresponds to, or really comes from, the divine name in Exodus 3:14, which is, I am that I am. I am that I am. God tells Moses, tell them that I am has sent you. I am that I am. So as creatures, the direction we're going to go with this for this morning's lesson, Sunday school, is that God's subsistence, his being in and of himself, his aseity, it creates an infinite gap, an infinite difference between the Creator and creatures. So we're talking about the Creator, creature distinction. The Creator, creature distinction. The Creator has being in and of himself. The Creator, God, is, and when I say he is, I mean his being, his isness, is in and of himself. Why does God exist? Well, he is the sufficient explanation for his own being. He is that he is. There's no reason behind God. There's no cause, precedent, antecedent to God. God is the sufficient explanation for his own being, and only the Creator. That's only true of God. Only God has being in and of himself. If there was another being that also had being in and of itself, then you'd have, what, two gods. And then there would have to be some antecedent cause that explains why there are two gods, when there should be one ultimate cause who truly exists in and of himself, who is then given those gods being in some way. So there's one and only one ase being. There's one and only one being whose being is in and of himself, and that is God, whose very name, whose proper name is I am that I am. This creates an infinite gap. We have just, you know, in invisible writing. This is we're communicating with one slash and infinity, an infinity of being. Because the creatures that God creates, what could we say about their being? They subsist. They are. They have an existence. But is the being of a creature like you and me, is it in and of myself? Do I just exist because I am? No. Rather, for from him and through him and to him are all things. So all things have their being from him. And all things have their being through him. And all things have their being to him. So this is why we said last week that creatures, we exist. We have our being from. We have a derived, dependent being. Whereas God's being is in and of himself, without prior cause or explanation. The Creator's being is a se. His subsistence is a se. Whereas the creature's subsistence is an existence. We are because God has made us and because God sustains us. And if God wanted to, if it were his will, he could cause that we cease to exist. Whereas God cannot cease to exist. His being cannot cease. He is I am that I am, whose being is in and of himself. He could not somehow extinguish himself, whereas God could most certainly extinguish the being of creatures should he so desire. So this little slash that represents an infinity of difference between the being of the Creator and the being of the creature is very important to understanding the world and life. It's also very important for understanding theology and what Christianity teaches about God and about creation and about many, many, many things. So think with me about this Creator-creature distinction. And we can ask certain questions to better understand the nature of this distinction, the nature of this difference between Creator and creatures. So the first question we want to ask in order to better understand the distinction between Creator and creature and the nature of the infinite difference in being between them is to ask this question: is the difference between the Creator and the creature one of quantity? Is the difference between the Creator and the creature a difference of quantity? Well, God has all the being, and creatures just have a slice or a portion or a part. You see, that would be a question of how much quantity. How much? Well, the distinction between the Creator and the creature is that God has the most or all of the being, and creatures, we just have a little bit, and so God is so much greater than us. No, that's not an accurate way of thinking. If we accepted that idea, that the difference between God and creatures is that he has more in quantity of being and we have less, then we would be entering into pantheism or panentheism. We mentioned pantheism last week from the Disney movie Pocahontas, where pantheism, everything is God. What is God? Add up all the things that exist, and they constitute God. So every rock is God, and every gust of wind is God, and every river is God, and all of the things that we can see, and all of the things that are, add them all up, and all of them, they are God. You see how God is just the sum total of in quantity of all existing things. If the difference between God and creatures is one of quantity, we essentially accept the pantheistic idea that God is the summation or the sum total of all things that are. Well, panentheism is very similar, except it attributes a sort of consciousness to the sum total of created things. All things are God. God is the metal. God is the wood. God is the you and me. And he's in all these things. They are God. But when you add them all up, they're not just some sort of summary of being that is God, but rather there is a consciousness. And so all things are one God, panentheism. Pantheism, all things sum up to what we call God. Panentheism, all things sum up to God, and there is a God consciousness in all things, sort of guiding the world in some ways. So either way, pantheism or panentheism make the distinction between God and creatures one of quantity. How much? God gets all of it, and we get a portion. That's, to be clear, we are absolutely rejecting that idea. We're saying that is not the nature of the distinction and the difference between the Creator and His creatures. Because if that were true, then God is not a se. God does not have His being in and of Himself. God has His being from the totality of all creatures. But God exists, or God is, whether creation is or not. The second question that we can ask to investigate the distinction between the Creator and the creature is the distinction one of quality? Is the distinction between the Creator and the creature, or God and creatures, is it a distinction of quality? Now, I'll test your high school Spanish here. In Spanish, what does cuál, what does that mean? Which one? If you want to say in Spanish, what, you'd say qué. If you want to say which, you'd say cuál. So quality has behind it not the question how much, but which one. The question of quantity is how much. The question of quality is which one. Now, it may be easy to think, yes, the distinction between God and creatures, or between the Creator and the creature, is one of quality. If we said something like, God is qualitatively different than creatures, that sounds very good. And there is a certain truth in that way of thinking, but it's not really the most accurate way of asking these questions or answering these questions. Why? Because a question of quality presupposes two options under the same heading. You're at the donut store, and they say, which donut do you want? That means there's an assortment of donuts in one case, and you're supposed to pick one out of the many donuts. So which one assumes that two things are on the same level, and you're picking them out of two options on the same level under some, as subcategories of some greater category. So the problem here, I'm going to do it in this empty space here, would be that you're assuming there is a larger category of being, and then there is sort of God being, and then there is creature being, which there's truth to that, but we shouldn't think of some more fundamental principle of being of which God is merely a classification or an example. God is not which one among beings. That's not the most accurate way to consider this. Now, again, is there not truth if we said, God has a se being and creatures all have created being? Yes, that would be very true. But there's a more appropriate way to get at this. So I want us to see that quality, although it's vastly superior to the question of quantity, is not the most appropriate answer, or it's not the most appropriate question, and so therefore it's not the most appropriate answer to discern the nature of the creator-creature distinction. Let me further explain that while you try to wake up. All idolatry and mythology essentially accepts this premise, that the gods are like us, but better or more. So the gods are like humans, but they're stronger, or they're wiser, perhaps, or more vicious. The difference between the gods and men is one of quality. They are like us, but super humans. And that's how the creature often conceives of the Creator in mythology and idolatry. The gods of the nations are usually what you long for or desire to have. And I mean, it's like our superhero movies, which, Thankfully, people don't worship those, or at least it doesn't seem like they do. But how do we conceive of superheroes in our art and culture? We think, boy, I'd love to fly, and then there's a superhero that flies. Wow, I'd love to be invisible, and then there's a superhero that's invisible. So it's qualities that distinguish the superheroes from us. They're like us, but they just have more qualities or better qualities and such things. So quality really puts the gods on the same level as criaturas. That's the reason my Spanish is coming out. The gods and creatures are both subcategories of being when you use a question of quality to distinguish the creator and the creature. So while there is a safe way to answer that question, it's not the most appropriate question, nor the most precise question. But we're running out of questions. What question can we use, then, to ask or to discern, to interrogate the nature of this gap and distinction and difference between the creator and the creature? And it's a word that we would not be familiar with, but it's not difficult to understand once we learn a little bit. And it's actually a question of quiddity. Quiddity. So notice here, coming from Latin, but if you have some Spanish knowledge, it's not hard to see. If you speak Spanish, you'd say, ¿cuánto cuesta? How much does it cost? Quantity. ¿Cuánto cuesta? How much does it cost? How much? Quality. ¿Cuál de los dos? Which of the two? Which one? Quiddity. This is from Latin. Quid means what. We're asking about the whatness of things. This is why quality presupposes two categories on the same level of something more fundamental, whereas quiddity, whatness, goes all the way to the foundation and says, what are these two things? What is the creator, and what is the creature? Not of what kind, that would be quality, nor how much, that would be quantity, but quiddity, quid pro quo, this for that, or what for what. We're looking at the whatness of things. And when we investigate that, we say, okay, the whatness of God is being. Being subsistence in and of himself. And the whatness of creatures is existence, created being, for from him and through him and to him are all things. And therefore, through that question of quiddity or whatness, that's when we most correctly see and most precisely communicate the nature of the distinction between the creator and the creature. Not two categories of one set, nor as a difference of quantity, but only the creator is ase. Only the creator subsists in and of himself, and all other things flow from him and through him and to him. There is God the creator who has subsistence in and of himself, and then there are creatures whom he has created, and their being depends on him and comes from him and flows indeed back to him. But here's something really interesting, is if I ask you the question, or if we sit down and we write on a piece of paper, quid est, what is God? What is God? What is God? Well, we can say he is a being whose subsistence is in and of himself. He's not an idea. He's not a theory. He's not a principle. He is. But it's okay, I understand. But what is God? You see, man cannot define God. Man cannot define him. There's no definition that contains within it the totality of who and what what God is. But we can describe God. We cannot define him, but we can describe him. And so that's what the attributes of God are. The attributes of God are where we attribute something to God, which we find in the scriptures, and some of his attributes, which we can find from nature and reason, but we attribute them to God, not as though we can contain within a definition the totality of God's whatness, of his quiddity. That's impossible, but rather we can truly describe him. And this is something we're going to develop further in later lessons. But notice that in our confession of faith, after we make this assertion, whose subsistence is in and of himself, then we confess infinite in being and perfection. Infinite in being and perfection. How can you define the infinite? How can you make definite and define that which is infinite? You cannot make definite that which is infinite. God is infinite in being, so you can't define his being. We can define creaturely being. We can say it is created existence that comes from God and depends on God. We can define that. And philosophy and theology do a great deal to define man's being and all created being. But when we try to discern and interrogate or look into, pry into the whatness of God, that's that obscurity. That's where man's mind falls short. And we say, this is the darkness through which no man can see. This is the greatness of God which no man can perceive. This is the infinity of God that no finite creature can possibly wrap his mind around or say, I have mastered it. And so as I believe I mentioned this last week, as we come to chapter 2 of the confession, it's a very special chapter. We're not mastering God. We're not, by the time we finish chapter 2 of God and the Holy Trinity, no one should say, I know all that there is to know about God now. And we have said everything that there is to say about God. As though we've completed our biology class and we've looked at everything under our microscopes and we've drawn all the conclusions there are to draw. No, theology proper, the study of God, is not where we master a subject. It's really where the subject masters us. And man is led again and again and again to say, God is beyond me, God is above me, and it should induce praise, it should conduce us, lead us to praise and to worship. He is infinite in being. If God's subsistence is in and of himself, that means there's nothing outside of God to limit God. There's nothing to limit his being. What limits our being is that we've been created in a particular way for particular purposes. So our being is finite. But there's nothing outside of God to limit the being of God. Therefore, he has infinite being. And infinite in perfection, likewise. What is there to limit the perfection of his being? He has perfect, infinite being. His subsistence being in and of himself, his ase being, there is no impurity, no imperfection, nothing that you could point to in the being of God and say, ah, well, there is something yet more perfect. There is a being yet more perfect than God. No. We confess that he and he alone is infinite, without finitude, without limitation or end, without border or limitation of perfection and being in God. Which is another reason why you can't truly use the question of quality to discern creator and creature. You'd say, well, God has the same qualities as us. He just has them in a better way. No, his perfections are infinite. Ours, well, we don't really have perfections, but our qualities, our positive attributes or virtues cannot compare to God. So man cannot define God. Man can, however, describe God. As we read the scriptures and we say, okay, God has described himself. God has revealed himself to us. But he himself is ase, infinite in being and perfection. Now, today's lesson is a little bit shorter, but we're going to stop here because the next statement very much follows from this, and it's this: whose essence cannot be comprehended by any but himself. Because of God's ase existence, because of his infinity of being, and because creatures are all finite in their being, no creature can possibly comprehend the essence of God. But the reason that we're not getting into that in this lesson is that the incomprehensibility of God and the ineffability of God need a larger treatment because they then relate to man's knowledge and description of God. If we cannot comprehend him, if we cannot speak him, if he is ineffable, then can we know him and can we say anything true of God? And we most certainly can. But that's why we need more time to develop that when we come back to these lessons. So what's next, which follows right from this, is God's incomprehensibility and God's ineffability, that he cannot be spoken. You cannot contain, incomprehensibility is saying you cannot contain God in your mind. Ineffability is saying you cannot contain God in your words. Because if the finite creatures can comprehend the infinite, that's just not possible. So we will pause here, and when we come back to chapter 2 of the Confession, we will look at incomprehensibility and ineffability. So to conclude, just to recapitulate, God's subsistence is in and of himself, which means his a-se being from himself, which we gather from a variety of sources, but especially from the divine name, I am that I am, which then leads us to the creator-creature distinction, this slash representing an infinite gap in being, not a difference of quantity, more and less being between God and creatures, nope, nor a difference even of quality, beings of different kinds, nope, that's not what we are describing, but rather a difference of quiddity, a difference of whatness. What is God? The one and only living and true God whose subsistence is in and of himself, and all other things whose subsistence is from him and through him and to him, which is a difference of whatness and quiddity, not God and creatures being two categories of being, but God being having uncreated, eternal, independent, ase existence or subsistence, and creatures being, of course, from him and through him and to him. And therefore, the creatures who then study or learn about their God, their creator, when they come to understand him or to try, they cannot define him. This is touching on incomprehensibility and ineffability, but we can describe God, and that's what we will develop and defend in the next lesson. So, thank you very much for your attention. You are dismissed.